Mecum Auctions, the world's largest collector car auction company, returns to Indy with Dana Mecum's 37th Original Spring Classic, May 10th through the 18th at the Indiana State Fairgrounds. 3,000 muscle cars, Corvettes, exotics, and more. Broadcast on Motor Trend TV and streaming live on Max. From avid collectors to those new to the Mecum experience, we welcome everyone. Register to bid now at Mecum.com.
So everybody has left from protesting the college campuses, realizing the error of their ways and demanding Hamas give up the hostages immediately and surrender. NYU, Columbia, Yale, oh, everywhere. And they've realized, oops, our bad. And now they're all better. Hold on. That didn't happen at all. Wishful thinking. Right. Got it. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. Speaker Mike Johnson heading to Columbia today, as has been reported, to speak on campus. This is going to make Marjorie Taylor Greene very, very angry. She wants Speaker Johnson gone. She wants to vacate the chair. The problem is he's getting backup. Speaker Johnson getting backup from President Trump. No one loves President Trump more than Marjorie Taylor Greene. Oh, you know she gives Melania the side eye every day. How dare you be that close to my man? Hold on, wait. I don't know if that's 100% true, but it was kind of funny, so you said it anyway. People should learn how to take a joke or, you know, whatever on them. Okay, good. Glad we got that understood. He is going to deliver remarks, holding a press conference on anti-Semitism at Columbia University while visiting with students, Jewish students and others, at Columbia University. When they tell you that they cannot guarantee his safety, what will happen then? What will happen when you cannot guarantee the safety of the Speaker of the House? I am just a man who is curious. What is it? Just asking questions. Meanwhile, the NYU America-hating, Jew-hating, just hateful bigots were hitting NYPD officers with bottles and furniture. So that happened. I can tell you from personal experience, don't do that. But certainly not when you're in support of terrorists. And all of these students are, and all of these parents who have these kids there. They're adults, but, you know, this is what you paid for. And they'll pay for it next year. Remember, all of these students think that they're righteous. So when we're looking at the situation, we have to ask ourselves how we got to a situation. And this is why we need to do things like break public education in two. Oh, we could do a better job with some of the private schools as well. But yeah, break this in half. End this. Because kids learn this stuff from an early age. From idolater indoctrinating teachers and others. Yes, parents hold their share of responsibility. But these universities allowing this, building on this, supporting this, and in the case of NYU, protecting this? Oh, good Lord. We know where the real issues come from. So the speaker will go. I assume that there's going to be some level of violence when he gets there. He's got to assume that too. But it's a good move. It's a good move politically if you want to argue it that way. Specifically against his quote-unquote right flank who's angry with him about the spending bills. It's a good move to show off exactly just how bigoted the political left is. And we should be clear, they're not even shy about it anymore. This squad, supported by people like Andre Carson, not shy about their hatreds. No, not for Jews, but yes, for Jews. For all of us. Not shy at all. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Finding the right healthcare partner for your business isn't easy, but Hancock Wellbeing at Work can help. We're a different kind of program that combines employer clinics with a wellness strategy. And in a lot of cases, we can deliver greater health benefits at a lower cost. See why well-being for your employees is well-being for your business at HancockWellbeingAtWork.org.
I think everybody has made their own assessment of President Trump's character, and so far as I know, you don't pay someone $130,000 not to have sex with you.
Wow.
Mitt Romney, he's hilarious. You can even hear the CNN people like, oh my.
Wow, that was Republican Senator Mitt Romney. What a soundbite. Reacting there to Donald Trump's hush money trial is today's testimony.
First of all, you can very often pay somebody $130,000 not to have sex with you. What else do you pay lawyers for? No, wait, you still get screwed. The joke was right there, people. It was low-hanging fruit, and sometimes it's still kind of sweet. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning. No one cares if Trump had sex with Stormy Daniels. That part doesn't matter. Once again, Mitt Romney not seeing the story. Funny, he understood Russia as our greatest geopolitical foe when nobody else was paying attention to it. But this he doesn't understand? It doesn't matter. I don't care if Trump wrote a check to Stormy Daniels for $42 million. That part is inconsequential. The sex is inconsequential. Whatever they did, even though she says they didn't do anything, sure, I don't care what letter she wrote either. There's no crime here. This case out of New York, brought by the district attorney, Alvin Bragg, there's no crime. Well, he should have written the check from this account, but he wrote it from this account and gave it to the fixer, Michael Cohen. Shame on Trump for trusting Michael Cohen. There is more shame in actually having Michael Cohen in your orbit than ever having done anything with Stormy Daniels. So he wrote a check, but wrong account, and he got the hush money to her, and then he was the fixer. He was the fixer. He wasn't a fixer. Good Lord. I don't know what's lower than a rat, but he's it. But paying somebody is not a crime. Paying somebody to be quiet is not a crime. You agree to it or you don't. That's all there is. She agreed to it. What now? I didn't care what they engaged in contract before and the money changed hands. I don't care what they engaged in contract after. And I don't know. I'm not quite sure why anybody else does. Now, if you tell me, well, morally, I think that's reprehensible. Oh, okay. Well, you don't vote for a guy. You want to send a guy to jail for that? Well, I got a lot of things morally I find reprehensible, and I'd be throwing people in jail for. Certainly kicking people out of Congress for. Gladly. I was minding my own business last night, having the second Seder for Passover. And it lovely, just the family, great, and I checked my phone afterwards, and my phone is nothing but text messages from somebody I work with. And not, I will just say, not one of the on-air staff. And it was, are you watching this debate? Are you watching this insanity? And they're talking about the GOP debate, the candidates for governor. It was put on by the Indiana Debate Commission. Are you watching this? I said, just got done with the Seder. I'm going to find the live stream and I'm going to watch. And I watched. I watched the Indiana GOP gubernatorial debate so you didn't have to. Allow me to right now get into a couple things. I'm going to get into more of this for the popcorn moment a little bit later. Turns out I actually had to check who was on the Indiana Debate Commission. I had to see who allowed this to happen. It turns out I actually know some people on the Indiana Debate Commission. So it's possible I'm going to get some odd phone calls today. That's fine. There is not a person on the commission who shouldn't be fired. Today, the moderator, John Schwantes, is as unprofessional as any moderator I have ever seen. Argumentative, injecting himself personally and professionally into the debate. Mike Braun wasn't there. The senator wasn't there. He had a vote. In D.C., he couldn't make the debate. And here's the moderator, John Schwantes, giving Mike Braun's opinion. When you are a sitting senator, you get to benefit from a couple of things. Like being a sitting senator, like being able to have access to national media anytime you want it. Name ID, you get all these benefits, especially if you're now running for governor. Sometimes the other side is true. And the other side is, you might have to miss something because of a vote because you still have to do your job. That's the deal. The moderator saying, well, what Mike Braun would say is, and he did that. Argumentative. The whole segment about Trump, where his clear personal animus came through. I had never heard the name John Schwantes, which is okay because sometimes you don't hear of a name, even if they're a good person or good at their job. I have no idea if he's a good person, but he's not good at his job. And I would tell him so directly. The Indiana Debate Commission is out of their mind thinking that what happened last night was worthwhile. I am only stunned, stunned that no one walked off the stage, that no one said, forget this. But I would warn the Republican Party of Indiana that if you think this is bad, wait till you see a general election if these people get to decide some debate parameters. You can't have these people doing any of that. They forgot their job. They forgot their job. And maybe you could argue that being a little too hard on the debate commission itself. They took a shot. It didn't work. What would make me think that they could do it better the next time? I will break it down for you on the popcorn moment. When I tell you, like, I would talk about answers, and I will talk about who I think won. I've got some surprising names. But it's hard to figure. Because the debate itself was so horrible. And John Schwantes broke the cardinal rules of being a moderator. He made it about him and he made himself the story. You never go full Megyn Kelly when it comes to doing a debate. Holy. And by the way, I'm underplaying it. That's how bad.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Finding the right healthcare partner for your business isn't easy, but Hancock Wellbeing at Work can help. We're a different kind of program that combines employer clinics with a wellness strategy. And in a lot of cases, we can deliver greater health benefits at a lower cost. See why wellbeing for your employees is wellbeing for your business at HancockWellbeingAtWork.org.
Today in the marketplace, I often stop. It's a Masamura pachinko machine, which I have never, ever understood, except I think I want one. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. During the breaks, I'm often clearing my head, getting ready for what I'm going to be discussing next, and I end up on Facebook Marketplace. And there are weird things and fascinating things for sale. This, a vintage Masamura pachinko machine. Now, this is where you the little like silver balls, and you got the lever, and you flick it, and it goes down. You try and get it in a spot, in a hole, and it's got pegs, and it's moving around. It's like on Price is Right. You ever play the Plinko map bear? You got the Plinko thing?
Oh, it's my favorite game on Price is Right.
Right. Who doesn't love Plinko? Oh, you can win up to $25,000 in cash.
Well, you always won on Plinko, no matter what. Oh,
everybody's a winner.
Yeah.
Everybody walks away a winner, even the audience. Sometimes you just don't win much. And so basically this is it. But you got the little lever, and then the like they look like BBs. And then you flick it, and it goes. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. I had one of these when I was a kid, actually.
Did you?
It might be mine, just passed on through generations of people.
I don't think it is. Oh. So, doing a little research, that this was like all the rage in the 70s. Like, it was everywhere. It was everything. And you can get one for like 15 to 20 bucks. But it's very difficult to find these machines from the 60s or anything earlier. So there are rarer pieces. So in the quick bit of research, the brand, or I should say how it's labeled, Masamura, is a little more rare because it is an older piece. And according to this, the light bulb works when plugged in. Me, I want the light bulb to work when it's not plugged in. That's the sign of craftsmanship.
This has to be like a centerpiece of your apartment or your house. When people walk in, they have to see this first, I think.
Right, you would assume.
Yeah.
You would assume, and then they play it, and they go, oh, that's fun, and then no one touches it ever again, and then you're just dusting it for the rest of your life.
But they know you're quirky. You know, they know
right.
You're interesting.
I mean, this is the sign that you're quirky and interesting, not that you're in Matt Bear's apartment, but that you see the Masamura pachinko machine.
What the hell's wrong with this guy? That's what they're
right?
thinking.
So it is there on the Facebook Marketplace. It's out of Carmel, Indiana, because of course it is.
No way.
I live in Carmel, but I have to show people I'm quirky. I don't have it in me to live on Mass Ave.
No.
So here's the pachinko machine to make up for the fact that I live in Carmel.
Mass Ave is the new Carmel. I've been saying it for years.
It's really not. And those people would throw you out of Mass Avenue so fast.
I know. I'd be extricated.
Good Lord. So it is there. I got to admit, it's very cool.
It is.
I'm not buying it, but it's very cool. Check it out there. On the Marketplace. Sponsorship's now available for the Marketplace as we discuss it every day here at 93 WIBC. I'm Tony Katz. Good morning. I have no ability to square the circle here. And it could be because sometimes you got to recognize when something is out of your wheelhouse. It's not impossible for me to notice that the way Joe Biden acts on abortion must be outrageously confusing for Catholics. That he makes the claim of being a serious, practicing, nay, devout Catholic, but yet has no issue at all with abortion and supports it. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning. As I said, I can recognize that this is a weird presentation. I can recognize that this is awkward. But I have no ability to understand exactly to what extent this enrages people. This was yesterday. Joe Biden was at an event in Florida, and of course, everywhere he goes, if he has a chance to say, and we lost Roe v. Wade, and that's because of Trump, and he'll do it. And he'll do it. This was yesterday in Florida. I'm going to give you a little bit of the play-by-play. This woman is speaking. The president is there. He looks a little bit confused. And...
and then we come back here to the state of Florida, where Ron DeSantis felt like he needed to run for president. And so 15 weeks wasn't good enough. We had to go to 6 weeks.
When this woman says Ron DeSantis ran for Florida, 15 weeks wasn't good enough. Had to go to 6 weeks. As she's saying that, Joe Biden crosses himself. I if there is a specific terminology for that maneuver, I don't have it. I've never actually had it. He does the cross, from his head to his sternum and then left to right. And people look at that and say, okay, we're done. I mean, people are calling for excommunication from the church, that the Pope should just say, you're not welcome here anymore. Why would you cross yourself? I think he was trying to do it as a joke regarding DeSantis running for president, forgetting the subject at hand, which may, for people who are Catholic, be a very personal, intense subject. And by the way, maybe for others. And even if you were to agree that abortion is an intense subject and you're on the other side of the debate, to cross oneself, well, that's kind of to miss the plot. But it could all come down to the fact that Joe Biden has no actual idea at all of what he's doing. He has no cognition in the slightest. I will get into more of that, but I have tickets. I don't know who let me give away tickets, but here we are. Two tickets to the Sancio Grand Prix, Saturday, May 11th. So you got qualifying on the 10th. The Grand Prix on the 11th. That is at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. I will take the 8th caller. Well, actually, producer Carl will take the 8th caller, and I will just sit here. 317-239-9393. 17 days away from the Sancio. It's pronounced Sancio, by the way, S-O-N-S-I-O, the Sancio Grand Prix. It is going to be happening, and you can win your tickets. Be the 8th caller, 317-239-9393. What are we from the Indy 500? What are we from there? Just like 41 days away? Are we 41 days away from the Indy 500? Something like that. That's going to be on May 26th. So, get ready. Get your pants all set. Get your jorts in order. It's going to be a good time. And we will be there with the pre-race from 6 to 11 a.m. And then, of course, the greatest announcing team in all sports will take it from there.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Finding the right healthcare partner for your business isn't easy, but Hancock Wellbeing at Work can help. We're a different kind of program that combines employer clinics with a wellness strategy. And in a lot of cases, we can deliver greater health benefits at a lower cost. See why well-being for your employees is well-being for your business at HancockWellbeingAtWork.org.
Commission has put an end to non-compete agreements. This news broke after the close of business yesterday. Tony Katz 93 WIBC. Good morning. The Federal Trade Commission banning employers from utilizing non-competes. Non-compete means you can't go join the company across the street. This is going to get court challenges right away. If you sign a contract that says if you stop working here, you can't go work at this type of business in this area for X number of days, weeks, months, years, you signed a contract. The argument is, well, that's abusive, and you can't force somebody not to get a job. This measure was approved 3-2. The majority on the FTC are Democrats, or I should say Democrat appointed. This is the first time, as the Wall Street Journal reports it, in over 50 years that there's been a regulation to mandate an economy-wide change in how companies compete. According to the chair, Lina Khan, it restores what is the right of Americans that corporations have taken by imposing these non-competes. And the quote is, robbing people of their economic liberty also robs them of all sorts of other freedoms. So the Biden administration has been kind of focused on this, according to sources, saying that it's simply an unfair practice. When people engage in contract, they engage in contract of their own free will. So why would I ever think that a contract is unacceptable? Violating a contract, we would consider making something null and void. But if you sign a deal, you sign a deal. I have a non-compete. If for some reason I were to end the show right now, I couldn't now go across the street and work at another station. I signed that deal. Now, I could say, you know what? I'm going to go get a job anyway, and I'll let the chips fall where they may because kids need shoes, and I got to do what I got to do. Right? Wouldn't that be on me in that situation? So if you sign, you sign. Was someone forcing you to sign? I'm just curious. See that? People love to use that as the subterfuge, almost as the shield to getting into a conversation. No. I think if you sign, you sign. I don't know how this is now going to be handled in the courts, but it's going to the courts. But for a lot of people, they might just quit today and go across the street. So someone keep an eye on Nigel. Yeah, that's what I would do. That would be me. I'd be keeping an eye on good advice anyway. Keep an eye on Nigel. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Finding the right healthcare partner for your business isn't easy, but Hancock Wellbeing at Work can help. We're a different kind of program that combines employer clinics with a wellness strategy. And in a lot of cases, we can deliver greater health benefits at a lower cost. See why well-being for your employees is well-being for your business at HancockWellbeingAtWork.org.
Republicans running for governor took to the debate stage with the Indiana Debate Commission, and it was terrible. And the Indiana Debate Commission should issue an apology to the candidates and to the viewers. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning. There's nobody on that commission who should feel good about what happened. And if any member of that commission wants to call in, I will tell you directly. You want to meet one-on-one, I will tell you directly. You should be ashamed of what took place on that stage. The debate moderator is a man by the name of John Schwantes. In my life, I had never heard of John Schwantes. Just because I never heard of somebody doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean that they aren't capable. It doesn't mean that they aren't prepared. It doesn't mean that they don't have a skill set. Unless, of course, we're talking about John Schwantes. He hosts something called Indiana Lawmakers. It's a public affairs show. That does not make him a man capable of performing a debate. Because when you are a debate moderator, you do not get personally involved and you do not make yourself the story. And John Schwantes did both. It was the most unprofessional display I have seen since Candy Crowley moderating the debate between Mitt Romney and Barack Obama in 2012. It should be, in at least in this subject of debates, career ending. That's how despicable it was. I give you an example, and stay with me here. When it came to Mike Braun, Senator Mike Braun was not on the debate stage because he got called back for a vote in the Senate. When you're a senator, you get to take advantage of the opportunity that you're a senator, and you can get national media anytime, and you've got the name ID. It really does help in a run for something like governor, but you might get called away from something you want to be doing for your campaign because you have a job to do. That's what happened. It is not the job of the debate moderator to give the positions of the candidate who isn't there. It is the risk you run. You can mention that the senator was called away for a vote and therefore can't be with us. He referred to it as an important vote on foreign aid. Well, that's editorializing because the audience may not see it that way. The very concept of important can be seen a series of ways. You would say he was called away for a vote and is unable to be with us tonight. You can find out more at MikeBraun.com and leave it there. But to advocate, to state his positions, well, I know Mike Braun has said this in the past, that is not the role of the moderator. As Curtis Hill pointed out very well, for a guy not speaking for Mike Braun, you're doing a heck of a job of it. It was impossible to gauge who won the debate except for who dealt with this moderator the best, and that was Curtis Hill and Jamie Rittenour. They did the best job of saying to this moderator, what in the bloody world are you talking about? Which, of course, brings us to the popcorn moment. Let's go, let's go, let's go! It's a story you need to hear to believe, then grab your popcorn because there is more. The debate was already unprofessional. The rules of the debate, not known. You had Brad Chambers asking, well, wait, how do I do a rebuttal? You didn't know beforehand? Well, John Schwantes clearly didn't know. There was no control and saying, hey, you can trust me to do this right. He wanted to be folksy. Hey, I'm smarter than the room. Hey, look at me, I'm on TV. Top of the world, ma. Not a seriousness to the subject at hand. And then, of course, because, well, how could it not? The whole conversation turned to Trump. Well, of course it did, Tony. I mean, how could it not, dear Lord?
All right. We are going to give those arms another chance to flex. Not to the point you need Tommy John surgery or anything, but we're going to see if we can, again, rest the vocal cords and maybe go with this. So more rapid fire questions, if we want to call them that. And we're going to this next section with election integrity, which has been certainly a persistent issue nationwide. And in recent years, so we've seen that come to the fore many times. And the candidate who is likely to be at the top of Hoosiers' ballots on the Republican side, Donald Trump, certainly has weighed in quite a bit on the issue of what he sees as a lack of election integrity. So, show of hands, raise your hands if you are confident in the integrity of Indiana's elections.
Now, forgive the feedback right there that came from the recording. Election integrity does matter. But it was the mention of Trump that had you saying, okay, I know where this is going. Now, the only person who questioned the integrity was Jamie Rittenour. She gives a little bit of a response, and then John Schwantes, the moderator, continues to go down the ugliest road possible.
Try one more. Again, show of hands. A significant number of Republicans in Indiana, certainly, and elsewhere, agree with President Trump's claim that the 2020 election was stolen. Raise your hand if you agree that the election was stolen.
That question cannot be answered yes or no. That is not a yes or no question.
That's funny because I asked it as a yes or no question.
That's a guy who wants to get into a fight. Curtis Hill is saying that's not actually a yes or no question. And the moderator, John Schwantes, is like, well, you're clearly not smart enough to understand it.
That question cannot be answered yes or no. That is not a yes or no question.
That's funny because I asked it as a yes or no question.
Well, it involves facts that we
yes,
don't
do
possess.
You? Let me reframe it, Counselor. Counselor, is Joe Biden the duly elected president of the United States?
Yes.
All right. Anybody disagree?
That is a leftist nonsense talking point that has no place in the election in a debate whatsoever. None. Zero. Zero. Why is election integrity? How is the safety of an election? I don't actually mind that question. But this is about whether or not you're one of them MAGA folk. This is ugly.
Very good.
Wait, I just want to make a statement because I just think that's an unfair question. Let's just be very clear. What happened in the 2020 election that everybody should agree on is that it wasn't properly adjudicated. So they should have spent more time investigating that election, and it wasn't it was not investigated.
Next question.
So that's an unfair question.
Jamie Rittenour answers the question. He doesn't want to hear it. He doesn't want any part. You asked the question. You're mocking these candidates. I asked it as a yes or no question. And she answers because it takes a little bit more than a yes or no. And you don't want to hear it.
I think we know where you come down. No, listen. Raise your. All right.
Anomalies in that election. I went to bed at 2:00 in the morning with President Trump winning, and woke up in the morning and he was losing. There are anomalies that we can't understand. We don't know about. So we
all
cannot
right.
answer.
I'll
that
just say
question,
for
yes
question
no.
for a question that's impossible to answer, you just answered it. So next try again. Raise your hand. Well, you did. Raise your hand if you will recognize the results of the November election for president, regardless of the outcome.
He's picking a fight again with Curtis Hill. Will you recognize the results of the election? And as the candidate said, well, we don't know what's going to happen. What if something actually happens? These are nonsense questions. These are progressive MSNBC type questions that have no place in a debate. The failure from John Schwantes here is through the roof. He did a terrible job. These questions don't count and don't matter. Questions about LEAP, questions about taxes, questions about the border, questions about Indiana's growth, questions about education, all questions, not this. John Schwantes should not think of himself as good or decent in this. What an absolute abject failure. And the Indiana Debate Commission should be ashamed of themselves. So we can be clear, I, who am clearly on the political right, should be asked to do the debate in the general, because there is no one in the state of Indiana who would bring it more to an honest place and ask the questions of both parties and me. Zero. I put myself up against anybody in the state of Indiana. And if you say to me, well, we would never take someone like you. We need someone from the NPR world. You just did that, and it was a debacle. You need serious people who want to get Hoosiers serious answers, not somebody who wants to be seen on TV and thought of as a real smart guy. Disgusting stuff.
Ryan, you were just talking about this, a very important intersection. It's Meridian and 38th Street, and right now northbound Meridian is closed to 38th because of a bus fire. An Indigo bus was fully engulfed, and northbound Meridian is impassable right now. I would avoid the area altogether. All directions are backing up. Then on the northwest side, that's a crash. Northbound 65 before you peel off at 465. It involves a semi. The left lane is blocked. Traffic backed up to West 56th Street, almost to Lafayette Road. Southbound 65, coming down from the Boone, through the Boone. It is a crash cleanup that continues at Whitestown Parkway right now. We have two right lanes blocked. Also, the left lane is blocked, leaving a center lane open. We are not moving. If barely moving at all, traffic is stopped back to State Road 267. Delay time right now, if you are at the back of the line, is 55 minutes. Traffic sponsored by B Window for a limited time. With B Window, get 50% off all products in 20 months, no interest or payments. Plus, qualifying completed projects earn a $500 gift card at Sullivan Hardware and Garden. Details at bwindow.com. I'm Matt Bear with traffic on the fives. Follow us at WIBC Traffic.
Matt, stay with me for a second. First of all, a lot of thanks to Keith C60 there on X, who saw this bus on fire and got the video and shared it with you at WIBC Traffic on X. And of course, you've got the reporting avoiding the area, Meridian and 38th, this Indigo bus that is fully engulfed. I've already had people reach out to me and talking about, oh, electric buses. Before anything, we don't know what kind of bus this is. We don't know if there are people on the bus. We don't know if anybody got hurt. Before people want to get into the mocking, let's take a breath, okay? I want to make sure people are safe. I want to make sure there's not going to be an explosion. This thing is next to a bus stop. I don't want that catching on fire. The video is quite incredible. If you follow Matt there at WIBC Traffic, you'll be able to see it because people share things with him all the time. Let's get an understanding of what's happening. Let's make sure people are safe. We can go from there. There's plenty of time. This isn't it right now. And if you consider that an excoriation, I'm a guy who waits for data. I'm not interested in jumping to the thing. Just not. Wanted to make sure I was very, very clear on that subject. I don't know. It just annoyed me at the first. So forgive me if that seems harsh. But, you know, let's take a breath, everybody. Let's make sure everyone's okay. 44 degrees in the American Standard Cooling Weather Center. The time is 7:38. So Speaker Johnson is going to go to Columbia University, and he's going to speak about anti-Semitism on college campuses. Who knows? I don't know if they're going to be able to keep him safe. What I do know is Marjorie Taylor Greene is going to be angry because Trump is still supportive. It does put her in a spot. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning. Good to be with you. She wants Speaker Johnson gone. To the extent that she has an argument that she doesn't like the votes he has put on the floor, that's fine. The idea of vacating the chair is a ridiculous idea. It just isn't how you get something done. It's how you build your own brand. And I'm not interested in her building her own brand. Not in the slightest. But you have Mike Johnson pushing these votes. I would have pushed the vote on border security first. Of course, we passed Ukraine funding, Israel funding, Taiwan funding, now passing the Senate, but nothing for the border. It's wrong. It's madness. Even if I support these other things, the border first. And Trump is saying, look, we have a majority of one. It's not like he can go and do whatever he wants. I think he's a very good person. You know, he stood very strongly with me on NATO. I think he's trying very hard. Well, if that's what you're going to say, that puts people like Marjorie Taylor Greene in a very, very tough and difficult position. So I would assume that he's going to be safe. They aren't going to move forward with this, no matter what Thomas Massie wants. But as for the visit today at Columbia, I don't know if they're going to be able to guarantee that these crowds won't go nuts. Because these crowds are nuts. And when you're supported by bigots like Jamal Bowman, you feel like you have all the reason in the world to be nuts. I will get into more. It's not the only story going on, but because the speaker's going, is worth sharing. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. We are following that bus fire on 38th and Meridian. Matt Bear will have the latest on the traffic reroutes to avoid the area. It is an Indigo bus that is fully engulfed, or at least was. The video, if you follow WIBC traffic on X, you will see it there because Matt's little birds sent it to him, and we greatly appreciate that. We don't know anything. We don't know what kind of bus it was or anything else right now. We might know in mere moments. Let's first make sure everybody's okay. Let's make sure everybody was off the bus. Curious about how this happened. Let's get to that before we get to what kind of bus, right? You don't have to own anybody. First, you want to make sure everybody's alive. Well, I rank the things, guys. It's just who I am. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. Good to be with you. Title VI of the Civil Rights Act of 1964. Title VI is the idea that federal law protects people from discrimination based on race, color, or national origin. It is in this context that you are now seeing even the Secretary of Education, Miguel Cardona, who has no interest in parents and really no interest in education, condemning, quote, anti-Semitic hate on college campuses, unquote, and taking a look at things like the Gaza Solidarity encampment at Columbia University. It's not Gaza Solidarity. They support Hamas because they're disgusting, awful people. They should be better. They should be better. You support terrorists. Of course it's disgusting. And he has stated that anti-Semitic hate on college campuses is unacceptable. I am deeply concerned by what is happening at Columbia University. In November of 2023, our Office for Civil Rights opened an investigation of Columbia involving Title VI. He continues, quote, while we can't comment on pending investigations, every student deserves to feel a sense of safety and belonging at school. Hate has no place in our schools. All education leaders must stand definitively against hate, anti-Semitism, anti-Arab, and anti-Muslim sentiment. I don't know why you added the other things in there, because that's not the issue at all. Are these schools involved in a Title VI violation? When you have professors who are forming a human chain to prevent you from getting to NYU and either arresting these radicals or suspending them from the school for their actions, violations of school policy, etc. Title VI violation? Because you're saying it's okay that they scream death to Jews. But they don't care about that, the professors, obviously. But if we have these titles and they're supposed to matter, we have these things, these reasons, well then, you know, to fight, why not utilize them? It's interesting that Cardona is going down this road, the Department of Education. And I think it's because they know they're going to get sued. They know it's going to happen. This is about pressure on the state of New York to do something about what's happening. Now, I've got much more to say about these subjects. I'll get to some of it on Tony Katz today. But there's nothing that drives some of the elitists more crazy than the rules being used against them. And these people don't feel that there should be any rules about their actions and their despicableness whatsoever. But the divide in America is very real. And if you haven't already, you're going to have to pick a side. Do you think that we should be supportive of these institutions or not? I didn't say how the side was going to play out. And there are 100 subjects to which you may have to take a side. But yeah, there's no sitting on the fence, kids. It seems obvious.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Finding the right healthcare partner for your business isn't easy, but Hancock Wellbeing at Work can help. We're a different kind of program that combines employer clinics with a wellness strategy. And in a lot of cases, we can deliver greater health benefits at a lower cost. See why well-being for your employees is well-being for your business at HancockWellbeingAtWork.org.
Some growth in downtown? No. But we want to. And so I'll celebrate every little thing. I just wish the city would just be better at the basics. Oh, Tony, you don't live here. You don't get to say, oh, no, you're totally right. I don't get a say at all. And look who you voted for a third term. So you're right. I should just say nothing. As I said, you've made your decisions. But I still notice. I want what's best for you, even if you don't. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. Sushi Boss is coming to Monument Circle in Meridian. That's where Aubon Pond used to be. And then Green District. Green District did not last long. Green District did not last long at all. But Sushi Boss is going in. So Sushi Boss has two locations. They've got one near IUPUI, which I don't even know what we call that now. And they've got one on 86th. So they have done with sushi, they basically Chipotle'd sushi. And honestly, I think they do a good job with it. For quick, for easy, for price points, for everything. One of the very, very few restaurant concepts where I'm like, yeah, I would totally be a part of that. Like, I think it works. And I utilize it. Family utilizes it. The whole thing. So they're 10 years now, IEPUI. They've been 5 years up there on 86th Street. And they're going to go in right there on the corner. I hope they do great.
You can call me. I don't mind. I'm happy to have that conversation.
So while that is going on, I move you to Carmel. Well, actually, I should keep it downtown because just as this happening, this idea that the mall is suing Sugar Factory. When Sugar Factory came downtown, it was a big deal. Celebrity this. It's going to be so exciting. It's candy. Candy, I tell you. They're getting sued by the Circle Center Mall for failure to pay rent. According to the letter that was sent to Sugar Factory back in January, they owe $333,779 in back rent. That's a fair amount of loot. Or as they say in Carmel, a rounding error. Because in Carmel, Indiana, the Carmichael, which was $20 million over budget, no one cared, seems to be doing so well that they're considering expanding. It has had better attendance than they thought, what do you call it? Occupancy. Better occupancy than they thought. I hear that the restaurant, I haven't had a chance to go yet. The French restaurant is exceptional. I want it to be successful. You built it. I want it to be successful.
I just figured if you needed a five-star hotel, you would have had someone build a five-star hotel. If it's working, wonderful. I still don't think it's the place for a city to build, just like I don't think it downtown. Hope you get lucky. They have gotten lucky. But now they want to engage expansion. Of course. Of course they do. Crazy. Then they actually let loose some of the numbers on the hotel. So they're very, very pleased with the occupancy rate. They think that this is right where they need to be, that everything else is working. And they want to build onto it. Okay. Go ahead. What am I supposed to tell you? It's not like you would listen to me anyway. Can't it just be good the way it is? Can't we have other thoughts about what we grow and what we build? Nope. No. Okay. Okay. Guys, do your thing. Do your thing. I just hope the numbers continue to stay up. But I do hear wonderful things about the rest. Vivante, that's it. You got the jazz club in there. Feinstein's, right? Michael Feinstein, the songbook. But Vivante, I hear nothing but wonderful things about. That much is true. can't just let it grow naturally. Nope. Look, I like thinking big, but just, you know, take a breath. It's all. Nothing wrong with that. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Finding the right healthcare partner for your business isn't easy, but Hancock Well-Being at Work can help. We're a different kind of program that combines employer clinics with a wellness strategy. And in a lot of cases, we can deliver greater health benefits at a lower cost. See why well-being for your employees is well-being for your business at HancockWellBeingAtWork.org.
I was on Marketplace, and somebody is selling a $20 bill for $110. Used like new, buy so I can get out of the hood. It's there. It is right there. As clear as day. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. What's interesting is that it is a star note. If you've never looked at your currency, right? If you take a look at a bill, any bill, it's got a serial number on it, right? And since I'm the only person who still carries cash in America, I'm looking at what I've got. And if you take a look at the serial number, sometimes at the end, you'll see a star. I'm seeing if I have any, because you may have never noticed it. A star denotes that something happened in the printing of that run of bills. And so therefore, they had to rerun it or make a change. And so the star denotes that there was this issue. A star note actually has more value. There are websites that are dedicated to letting you know what your star note is worth. I do not have any. I was checking. You see the problem, Matt Bears, it's just so much cash. Just so much. I don't mean to brag or nothing. But that's a lot of ones to count through. It's radio, people. If it was TV, it'd be at least fives. So this guy is selling a $20 bill for $110 that, for all I know, could be worth $110. So that's what we've got. I'm trying to find the value of it right now. People are funny as can be. Absolutely love it. Jerry Seinfeld is saying that movies are over. Finito. Done. I'm not sure why he decided to make the statement, but he is making a very interesting argument. And the argument is that movies used to command a place in American culture. And that's over. You are no longer in a place where movies command this respect. They don't have a place in our hearts anymore. They don't have a place in our souls anymore. And he directed this film for Netflix about Pop-Tarts. The fictional account of the creation of Pop-Tarts. That's what he's doing with this time. It's like, did you ever see the Weird Al movie starring Daniel Radcliffe as Weird Al? It's a totally ridiculous, fictionalized, nonsense account of how Weird Al became Weird Al. And Weird Al is in it. But it is excellent. It's really campy good. Campy. Campy and good. So I don't know what made him say this. He said, film doesn't occupy the pinnacle in the social cultural hierarchy that it did for most of our lives. When a movie came out, if it was good, we all went to see it. We all discussed it. We quoted lines and scenes we liked. Now we're walking through a fire hose of water just trying to see. So when asked what has replaced film, he says depression or malaise. I would say confusion. Disorientation replaced the movie business. Everyone I know in show business, every day is going, what's going on? How do you do this? What are we supposed to do now? It's interesting. A recognition that the industry is changing and faltering. Because they're competing with so much content in so many places. But I would argue that there is absolutely positively room. There is absolutely room for content. People still want to see a cool story. People still want to watch a great spectacle. They still want to hear a great tale. That has not changed. One can argue that what has changed is what we accept as great. If you spend your day watching videos of people involved in these absolutely dumb dances that are not dances and think, oh, they're talented. Well, that's the diminishment of content there is a great example. A great example. So he's bringing up an interesting subject, but he certainly should not be advocating for, and I didn't take that he was, just a little bit of forward think. He should not be advocating somehow the idea that it's over and nobody's interested in content. No, people are still absolutely interested in content. 1,000% interested in content. Without question, interested in content. It just has to be, you know, compelling, interesting, funny. Those rules haven't changed. Now the money rules, that may have changed, but the rules of engagement, not so much.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Finding the right healthcare partner for your business isn't easy, but Hancock Wellbeing at Work can help. We're a different kind of program that combines employer clinics with a wellness strategy. And in a lot of cases, we can deliver greater health benefits at a lower cost. See why well-being for your employees is well-being for your business at HancockWellbeingAtWork.org.
How bad is it?
Don't sugarcoat it. Give it to me straight.
Want coffee?
I think I need some coffee.
Time to fill up on the news. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. Dow futures down just 6. NASDAQ futures up 129. And the weird story of the day, Boeing says they had a better quarter than people thought. The loss wasn't as great. They didn't spend as much money. Certainly, they weren't spending it on safety. Too soon? No. Yes. I'm sorry. Boeing's a fine company, and everything's going just great. Everything's perfect at Boeing, and there is nothing else for us to talk about at all.
Okay, people, move along. There's nothing to see here.
There it is. There it is. People are like, wait, what is Tony talking about Boeing for?
What happened?
Nothing. Nothing. Don't you worry about it. Don't you worry. It was nothing at all. You have the door panel that blew out. You've had a series of issues with Boeing. But people have been very clear. The Boeing issue is not specifically Boeing. It is the companies around it. It is how these planes have been dealt with by the airlines. And every now and then you'll get somebody just squawking. No, these have been people who clearly have an understanding of the world of aviation. Like, there's the story is deeper. So I'm willing to give them the benefit of the doubt here. But there's clearly a problem with the 737 MAX. There's clearly something that was done wrong here. I haven't been able to shake that at all. There's clearly an issue with the 737 MAX. I realized that I have not shared much audio today. And I loved when Chuck Schumer got angry because the protesters are now in front of his home. Because you're allowing this terrible attack on Gaza. Hamas murdered 1,200 Israelis and has hostages. We don't care about that. They deserved it. Literally, there was a guy who went to Colombia and asked students if the hostages should be released. And they're like, nah. No, not at all. And so he was dressed as Moses. And so he put the plagues on them like you get hail. And he's like tossing salt into the air. And it was weird and horrific that there are people who are like, no, keep hostages. It's good. Keep hostages. It's really, really good. And you're like, who in the world would ever talk like this? And then you realize that the president of Colombia a few years ago discussed the fact that you know, terrorism is nothing more than a form of protesting.
So it's not, you'll always have individuals who will have extreme views. But what's really troubling in the region is that there's actually quite a broad base of society which has some sympathy for the terrorists. Not so much because they approve of their methods, but it's a form of protesting against a system which is not delivering for them on the economic or the political front.
See, terrorism is just about protest. She's the president of Colombia. She got hired because of exactly that. And people who sent their kids to Colombia didn't know. The students didn't. Of course they knew. They just didn't want to know. Meanwhile, they're protesting in front of Senator Schumer's house, and he doesn't want to talk about it.
Hands. A significant number of Republicans in Indiana, certainly, and elsewhere, agree with President Trump's claim that the 2020 election was stolen. Raise your hand if you agree that the election was stolen.
That question cannot be answered yes or no.
That is
not a yes or no question.
That's funny because I asked it as a yes or no question.
That's the moderator of the GOP debate last night, John Schwantes, failing so epically. The Indiana Debate Commission should put out an apology to the five candidates who were on the stage. Senator Mike Braun couldn't make the debate. He had a vote in the Senate. And to the people, to Hoosiers, who watched it. An apology should come from Schwantes personally and from the Indiana Debate Commission for failing to do the job. You made yourself the story. You did not make it about
the questions that Hoosiers actually want answers to. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning. Great to be with you. And I know some people who are on the Indiana Debate Commission. You should be embarrassed. You should say this was a failing, because it was. As clear as day, this was failure. I don't know John Schwantes personally. He might be a very nice guy, personally. But in this debate, he was argumentative. He injected himself. He was like, look at my personality. He thought himself above it all. I mean, this exchange.
Well, it involves facts. That we
yes, do you? Let me reframe it, Counselor. Counselor, is Joe Biden the duly elected president of the United States?
Yes.
All right. Anybody disagree? Very good.
Wait, I just want to make a statement, because I just think that's an unfair question. Let's just be very clear. What happened in the 2020 election that everybody should agree on is that it wasn't properly adjudicated. So they should have spent more time investigating that election, and it wasn't it was not investigated.
Next question.
So that's an unfair question.
Jamie Rittenour answered it for you. She's like, no, I don't think you're asking a proper question, and here's why. And you want to move on? You brought this up. Now you're angry that you're getting anything else other than the gotcha, which that was. It was a gotcha for no reason whatsoever, except a disdain that clearly Mr. Schwantes has for the candidates.
I think we know where you come down. Listen. Raise your. All right.
Anomalies in that election. I went to bed at 2 o'clock in the morning with President Trump winning, and woke up in the morning and he was losing. There are anomalies that we can't understand. We don't know about. So we cannot answer.
I'll
that
just
question,
say for
yes
question
no.
for a question that's impossible to answer. You just answered it. So next try again. Raise your hand. Well, you did. Raise your hand if you will recognize the results of the November election for president, regardless of the outcome.
He didn't answer. That was Curtis Hill answering. He didn't answer yes or no. He explained it. It was a yes or no question, to which Curtis Hill rightfully said it's not a yes or no answer. But the whole question was meant to do this. Why would the Republicans allow it? Because it's the Indiana Debate Commission? Not worth their salt if this is how they act. Not worth listening to. I know people, I'm staring at the commission board. You should apologize. I know some of these people. Apologize for the absolutely terrible, terrible presentation. The lack of understanding of the rules by the candidates. And for a debate moderator who made himself the subject. I said earlier, I should be the moderator of the debate for governor, Republican, Democrat, Libertarian. I will clearly do a better job. I will do the best job in the state of Indiana, period. Because I won't make myself the subject of the debate. I'll ask the questions and I'll keep the trains running on time, which is a terrible, terrible turn of phrase, because then people go Mussolini and you're like, that's not what I meant. But yet there it is. He ruined it for everybody. He really did, especially the Italians, but everybody else. Keep the thing going. Make sure you engage a proper level of pushback when there's obfuscation to an answer, not guide an answer. And don't get into the questioning that is clearly meant to engage a level of partisan insanity. I am sure there is somebody from his public radio world, John Schwantes, who's like, oh, you really got him. Shame on the Republican Party for allowing this. I want to know where your voice is going to be when the general comes. Because you can't have this. You can't. And John Schwantes, and when I say he should apologize, the guy should apologize. It was terrible. It was awful. And there was no way in terms of actual conversation to figure out, quote unquote, who won. I would say that your winners, just based on the pushback on Schwantes, are Curtis Hill and Jamie Rittenour.
They did the best job of pushback. They were at least willing to push back. You cannot get Suzanne Crouch off a talking point. You can't do it. It can't be done. But she's still getting the endorsements, which is pretty incredible. Brad Chambers at least wants to fight. He wants to say, I'm different than Mike Braun. I'm different than Eric Doden. He wants it. He would have been served a little bit better if Braun was on the stage. But I think he could have worked better to separate himself with Braun off the stage, and I don't think he got that done. And as for Eric Doden, a very, very nice man, again, calm, rational, reasoned, but I don't think it inspires. It's a very strange field. Very strange field of running for governor on the Republican side. Nobody is really breaking out. But just for pushback, Rittenour and Hill last night. Clearly. But the Indiana Debate Commission should start apologizing right now. Despicable stuff.